We're in the middle of a sermon series called Following in Jesus' Footsteps, and we do seek as Christians to be followers of Jesus in all of our ways. Every fall, if you haven't figured this out yet, this is my third fall with you, I preach a sermon series on why we believe. And certainly, when we are asked by Jesus to follow him, we might want to know what that looks like and what that means and how it affects us. And I remind you in the words that describe the series that God wants us to follow him and be his disciples. And I'll tell you what, he doesn't really care about what happened in your past. Not that he doesn't care because it means something to you, but once you follow him, he assumes you're leaving all of that behind. He wants you to come into a new future, one that has meaning and purpose and new life. So I encourage you, as we go about this series, to hear Jesus' call to come and follow and to dwell with me on the words that he teaches us. So last week, we talked about walking. How, of course, if you follow someone, you have to go where they go, and Jesus didn't stand still the whole 33 years, right? He walked around, and so people followed him, and they had to move. They had to walk. They had to go where he went. Now, I'll tell you this, as I was watching Mary with the children, I was thinking to myself that years ago I went on a conference where I was with all these business leaders. It was called Interpersonality or something like that. It was from the National Training Leadership Team. And it was out in California, and they matched us with these people we'd never met before, and they blindfolded us, and they took us out into the woods, okay, where there are trees, like, down around you, and there's creeks, and, you know, there's stones, and limbs, and leaves, and everything, right, okay, and they matched you with a partner, you know, and of course, I'm the one with the blindfold on. I think it was intentional, right? And had to follow my little partner, right? And he had to guide me. You know, well, of course, I'm tripping over the limbs and the rocks, and I'm almost falling in the creek, and he's trying really hard to tell me, you know, move left, move right, you know, step over this, step over that. And, of course, I'm not trusting him. Instead, I was trusting my own feet, right, and wanting desperately to open my eyes and take the blindfold off, and I wanted to feel my way, and I didn't even know this guy. Why should I trust him that he's not going to let me fall, right? That was my attitude anyway. But when we follow Jesus, it's kind of similar. I think sometimes we want to take the blindfold off, and we want to say, Jesus, where are you taking us? I don't know what path you're having me going down, but I'm kind of nervous about it, and I think I'm going to trip, and as a matter of fact, I know I'm going to trip, and I'm going to see rocks, and I'm going to see limbs, and what if there's a really big tree that fell down right in front of me, and I get hurt? What about that, Lord? What about if I get hurt? There was a report that was done by George Barna. They do research on Christians and what they believe, and it was published in Christianity Today. And it said that an estimated 74% of people that live in North America strongly agree with this statement. There is only one true God who is holy and perfect and who created the world and rules it today. 74%, that's pretty good, isn't it? Right? But in the same exact survey, 65% do not agree that there is anything in truth, in absolute truth. There's no such thing as absolute truth. So as much as they say that they believe that there is one true God who is holy and perfect, who created the world and rules it, there's no such thing as an absolute truth. Now, to you, that might not make any sense, but to me, it's a big contradiction, right? Because to them, God is a God of convenience. God is a God who changes. God is a God who only wants them to do only so much, right? When we read the passage today from the scriptures, we hear that it's about relationship. Now, the word trust, when I asked people about it this week, it kind of stumbled us. Because if I asked you, what does it mean to trust somebody? You know, everybody has a different understanding of that, right? And my favorite conversation, I used to talk to my dad, but now that's not as possible. I mean, I could talk to him, but I don't always hear him back, right, as verbally as I used to. So I talked to my sister last night for a little bit about it, because I was really wrestling. And she said that she thinks that trust begins when we are young. And I tend to agree with her, right? When we're born, if we're born into a family where our mother and father or our grandmother or our aunt, uncle, or whoever we're with, care for us and love us and take care of us and feed us and support us, then our understanding of trust is very well nurtured. And we start the beginning of our life wanting to trust people and believing that they'll have your best interest in mind. Now, I wish I could say that was the case for everybody, right? But unfortunately, some people are born into a family where maybe one of the parents is not well, or maybe one of them disappears, or maybe one of them is not available, or maybe one of them dies. And if you grow up without that nurturing trust that a parental unit can give you, you might sort of be searching for what it means to trust all the days to come. Learning to trust is a job. I wish I could tell you that it's easy and that everything will go the way you want, because even if you do grow up with great parents, you might go to school. Have you ever had anybody pick on you at school? Anyone? Donna. Yeah? You over there, Dave? Being picked on at school is not very nice. Actually, one day, I had red paint. I was in the art class, and I had red paint stuck in the back of my head. And what happened is this one kid started to make fun of me because there was red paint and I didn't know it was there. And I was so upset that they made fun of me, this is how crazy I was, that I went into the bathroom with a pair of scissors and I chopped off my hair so that it would not be red. Well, of course, then I come out of the bathroom and my hair's like, you know, a mess, right? So the ceasing of making fun of me did not end with me cutting off my own hair, right? So I think that, you know, kids can be mean. And I used to think that that would stop once you got out of middle school. And I see some people shaking their heads. Do you know that it continues into adulthood? People can be mean, really, really mean. And it's hard sometimes because when you want to trust people, they let you down and they hurt you. So when we listen to the passage that Jesus is talking about, you'll notice that the word trust is not even in the words. But what Jesus is talking about is a relationship with his Father. And what he tells them is, there's another version of scripture where he actually says the words, "He who sent me is trustworthy." Jesus says that to trust in the Father is how he goes about a pleasing life. You'll notice also that Jesus says he never, ever does what is displeasing to the Lord. Never, ever. Now, I wish we could all say the same, that each of us are never, ever going to do something displeasing to the Lord, but I can't promise you that. But I can promise you that if you try to follow Jesus, who trusts unconditionally in his Father, who is trustworthy, then you're bound to have a good start. God is all about relationship. He wants us to trust in him. Not that it's going to be easy. Not that you're not going to get hurt. Not that someone's not going to let you down. But the very opposite. That when it happens, God will be there, as Mary influenced the children, right? To catch you. when you fall. There was a television program preceding the Winter Olympics a few years ago where there were blind skiers being trained for slalom skiing. When I first heard that, I was like, huh? I mean, seriously? Like, wow. But how they did it was they were paired with somebody who what? Could see. Excellent, right? The blind skiers were taught on the flats how to make right and left turns. In other words, they're on a flat area. They're not on the hills. And how they were taught is that they were sliding along, supposedly, and then the sighted partner would scream, left. Okay? And immediately, what did the skier have to do, right? Move their body. I think you go this way, right? I'm not a skier, but anyway. So yeah, you go like this, and then, of course, they would say, go right, and then you'd have to move your body right, okay? And you practice, right? And as they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate a pretend course and cross the finish line so that when they could actually go on the real course and they heard the words in their helmet or whatever they were wearing, they could know how to ski. And they were phenomenal. It's a very vivid picture of being in a Christian life. In reality, we are blind. We do not know what is in front of us. We cannot see beyond the now. And yet God calls us to follow him. I wish I could tell you that all the conversations I have with people as a pastor are positive. But I have conversations where people say to me, I really want to have a baby, and I can't. And I watch other people who are parents, and they don't even take care of their kids. I go through life where I have health issues, and I'm in pain every single day, and it hurts me to get up. And other people who have every faculty of their system lay around on a couch and do nothing. We are not the arbiters of fairness, my friends. God is. And he knows far more about his plans and his purposes than we do. In the end, it is not about what is fair. It is about trusting in a God who is just and promises that in the end, we will see. There was a pilot of an F-15 plane in the military who averted an attack on his plane when it was locked on him by doing some really fancy maneuvers. If you've ever watched the movie Top Gun, you might have an idea what I'm talking about. I know that's probably not everybody's favorite, but anyway, it's something like it. You know, they were flying along, and somebody locked them and could have destroyed them, and this particular man who was flying the plane averted the lock. But in the process, he had to do some fancy maneuvers, right? And what happens is you get dizzy up there, right? And he thought for sure he was going up. I mean, if you asked him to bet his life, he would have said, I'm going up. But he looked at his instruments. And in a plane, I'll tell you, you have to go by your instruments. It was dark outside, and he really couldn't see. And his instruments said that if he didn't turn up in approximately, 3 or 4 seconds, he would crash into the ground. You think you bet your life you're going up, right? But your plane says you're going down. What do you do? Well, in the split instinct, he remembered his training, which told him, in these moments when you are dizzy and you don't know where you are and you're confused and wondering, trust always in your instruments. And he went up. And sure enough, if he hadn't done it, he would have been killed instantly. I say this to you because it is a matter of life or death whether we follow Jesus. And it is a matter of life or death if we trust in him. Because, my friends, in the big scheme of life and all the choices that we have, God wants us to trust in him. There's a song where it says, "I surrender all." Have you guys ever sang that song? Well, my friend in Boca, I'm sure I told you the story because I think it just moved me beyond words. She used to sing in the praise team in my church in Boca, and she would say, "When I sing that song with the congregation, I kind of feel like everybody's out there singing, 'Lord, I give just half. Lord, I give just a quarter.'" They don't want to say, "Lord, I surrender all." But I remind you that you have one of two choices, as Miss Mary demonstrated, right? You either believe God is going to catch you, or you don't. And if you've ever lived your life around somebody who doesn't trust anybody, they are pretty miserable. And so you have a choice this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Do you surrender all? And do you trust in Jesus or not? For now and forevermore. Amen. Now let us rise as we join together in singing our